Hello, Anchor. This is Anna Guerra, your host, and welcome to my daily podcast. Today we have another special episode. I have my friend here, Andre Barroques. He is another Microsoft intern, so we have the second intern interview. So say hello to him. Clap.
Hello, everyone.
Andre, tell us about yourself.
Tell you about myself. Okay, so as Anna already told you, my name is Andre. I am 21 years old. I have studied at economics at İşkte Business School, and now I am an intern at Microsoft, and it's a huge privilege to work for this company.
And it's been a huge mess to get Andre here because, you know, he's so busy. I'm so busy. He's dealing with events, and you can imagine events here at Microsoft. It's pretty crazy, especially because you're doing B2B events, right?
Yeah, exactly. Yes.
So I can imagine that must be very crazy. There's always a lot happening here at Microsoft. If you guys were working here like every single day, there's an event here. Either at working hours or after everyone has left, there are some people coming in. It really is crazy. So today, for a change, we are not in my house like last time with Katya. We are now actually at Microsoft, you know, because it was easier for Andre to do it here. So I brought my Blue Yeti microphone here, and you might be listening to the raindrops as well, but we try to make this as quiet and as professional as possible, but never like my house, you know. That's the most professional place. Okay. Andre, what exactly do you do at Microsoft? Explain us, you know, the official title what it actually means,
because no one gets it. Well, the official title, it's Business Manager Intern. Now, what I actually do, I'm in the SMC OCP team, which means Small and Medium Corporate and One Commercial Partner. And inside that department, I am in the One Commercial Partner. So this means that I am in the team that deals with Microsoft partners. For those who do not know or who are not aware of the business of Microsoft, partners are those IT companies that sell, for example, Microsoft services or products on behalf of Microsoft. So this means that we are a kind of I am in a B2B department, since we are dealing with other businesses. In my role inside that team that deals with partners, I am in the readiness team, which means that I am working with a person that is responsible, for example, for choosing the trainings that we must give to our partners, because they must be able to work with our tools, namely with Azure, the cloud platform, the Microsoft cloud platform. And yes, this involves lots and lots of preparation for events that we have here, namely trainings. We have a training almost every week. And every month we have big events with over 100 or sometimes even over 200 people here at the company. So basically this is my role.
So as you understood, like the degree of complexion that it is, mm-hmm. you know, just understanding the structure, you know, it's even hard for me who's listening to this, and it's not the first time I'm listening to this, and I'm working at Microsoft, I'm familiar with some of these acronyms, and still it's still super complicated. So Andre, maybe let us know what is like a normal day at work for you.
A normal day, okay. I arrive at the office at 9 a.m. or a bit earlier, it depends.
He's a good boy. He's a good boy.
I'm a very good boy. Well, since I am in this role of dealing with partners, and more specifically scheduling trainings for partners, this involves, for example, giving updates to the PDMs, which are partner development managers. So basically they are the Microsoft managers that they work as a bridge between Microsoft mm-hmm, mm-hmm. and the partners. Yeah. They develop the relationship between partners and Microsoft. We must give them regular updates on the trainings that are going to happen, which partners are enrolled in those trainings. This also involves, of course, organizing the events.
Mm-hmm. Are they part of Microsoft, those people, or are they like a separate agency?
They are part of Microsoft. Yes, they are part of Microsoft. Then this also involves, of course, attending meetings to get to know what's the strategy, what are the best trainings that we must offer to our partners, taking into account, of course, their needs. then preparing all the logistics of the events. It's basically this is it.
Mm-hmm. Everything that is related to the event, you're involved in. It's related to the events.
Yes, yeah. It may not seem a lot, but sometimes mm-hmm. I have to work 10 hours here for a day. I have done 2 or 3 days of 12 hours. So, yeah, it's not easy.
Yeah, because are you involved in the strategy part of the event as well? Like what will be kind of, what is the target for this event? Mm-hmm. What kind of things are we going to talk about? Are you involved in that
as
well?
I am involved and I am not involved. I'm mm-hmm. involved because I do a kind of shadowing with my manager. Mm-hmm. But of course, I don't make the decisions yet. Mm-hmm. But it's mm-hmm. good to be part of that, of those meetings, of course, because we get to know how we build a strategy for our partners. So it helps to, you know, to get more, mm-hmm. To understand a bit more the company and to understand how we define our priorities. How does Microsoft define the priorities in terms of trainings? How the company decides what training should be delivered to our partners, taking into account, of course, the needs that they have and the needs of the market, because, of course, they also need to address what the market wants.
Are you going to most of your managers' meetings?
Yes, of course.
Really?
Really. Mm. True story. I'm not lying. I'm not lying.
But that's cool because, like, for me, in my case, it's kind of a mess because my official manager in Microsoft Records is person A, mm-hmm. but then my actual manager was person B, but it turns out I don't actually like work directly with person B. I work with person C, so I have to report to person C, who is in Spain. So I'm kind of left with no one. And okay. I'm doing most of the stuff like by myself, uh-huh. and I'm not going to like any meetings mm-hmm. with my manager.
Well, I'm in a similar position also,
really?
Because, of course, I must report to the heads of the SMC and OCP, but I do not work with that person. Mm-hmm. So I should report to the leader of the OCP, the One Commercial Partner mm-hmm. Division. I do not report to that person either. So I work with the person that is responsible for the readiness team. And mm-hmm. she officially isn't my manager.
But she gives you most of the help.
Exactly.
And
no, so, all the help. Really? All the work that I do is for her.
Mm-hmm. So when
it's
you,
for her division.
So when you say you're shadowing your manager, are you talking about your actual manager or her?
Yes, I'm talking about her. Not the official manager.
Okay.
Official manager.
So it's a very similar position that you're in, yeah.
I believe we are all in that position.
You think? From
most
what you've heard
are.
With
most
other...
Most of us are, yeah, definitely.
No one really wants us here. We're like, we have to put them somewhere. Do you need one? And they're like,
exactly.
Doing some kind of bingo game. And they're like, I want one.
Exactly.
And
probably those that are more in contact with their true managers mm-hmm. are those that are in marketing and operations.
Mm. Yeah, I guess because that's the department that gets most of the
exactly.
interns as well.
Uh-huh.
And they're very used to
exactly.
working with interns.
Yes.
In my case, and I guess in yours, I've asked for help and they said no. Or I don't care.
No one has left me abandoned. That I can assure you. Yeah.
Especially because you're working 12 hours. So there's definitely someone asking you to do stuff.
Fortunately, this is not a routine, fortunately. But usually 9 to 10 hours.
Yeah.
That's the usual stuff.
Like all the interns here remember Andrea during like the first 2-3 weeks. He was like... staying here until like 9-8 p.m. We're like, where's Andrea? Let's go out, let's have some drinks. Andrea is nowhere to be seen.
8 p.m. Yes, that's true.
But is it better now? Do you
no,
feel like the rhythm
it's
is better
now. It's better now. The thing is that in the beginning we had, well, I had probably the same workload that I have now, but as I was in the beginning, I wasn't aware of the methods of doing things. So I mean, it's a mixture of lots of things to do and zero idea of how to complete these tasks. Yes,
mm-hmm,
sorry.
Mm-hmm.
So, yes, of course, that forces me to take much more time than it actually requires.
Yeah, I remember exactly the same way. I would say there's not like more workload now, but I'm much more used to what the process is.
Exactly,
I know
the
if
process.
I need that,
that's...
I ask someone. But in the beginning, we're like, who does this?
Exactly.
Who should I have talked to? And
as
everything.
We are in a big multinational, you need to bear in mind that it's a company that has lots of processes.
Yeah, lots of processes and lots
of
people.
Lots of intermediate steps
also.
That we need to take in order to arrive
yeah.
to to our goal.
Do you feel like you know a little bit more of the game now?
Of course.
How it works? And definitely. Have you seen like a big progression?
Definitely. Definitely.
Or do you think that's only impacting like how much time you spent, or also like in terms of quality, the things that you're learning? How are you feeling about the whole transition?
The time that I spent here, because now I'm more productive than I was in the beginning. And yeah, it's also my vision, because as I know now how to do things, I can spend more time doing other things that I actually like to do here, which is, for example, doing more research about about Microsoft's products and services, because I also need to do that research. But as I have more time now, of course, it's much easier to do that. It's easier to get to know much more about what Microsoft offers, which was one of my major goals when I considered applying for mm-hmm. the company.
And I'm guessing you also have more time to question how things are and whether they're right or not. At least, yeah, right?
Yes, of course. Yes, I mean...
because in the beginning, I feel like you're running everywhere. I uh-huh. felt the same way. Like, you're running, we need to do this. Oh, really? Okay, here it is.
Yes.
And everything. And now I'm like, should we really do it like this? Mm-hmm. Are yes. these really the right yes. people to do this?
In the beginning, we are so... we have so many things to do that we don't think... We don't have critical thinking almost in the beginning. But yes, in afterwards, as we get more involved in the processes of the companies, as we get more productive, as I said, we can allow ourselves to have that time. And we also have more experience, of course, we can allow ourselves to think about that and to think, is this the best way to achieve that?
Mm-hmm.
Probably we could try another method.
And what are you thinking about this whole journey that you've had? It's been like 2 months.
2 months
now.
Yes, we started September the 18th. So yeah.
What has been the balance and the feedback so far?
Well, tremendously positive, very positive, definitely. What can I say? I've learned a lot in what concerns the products and services that the company offers. As I said, that was one of my major goals in coming here. When I planned to come here, and in my opinion, that's a privilege, because the economy of the future is going to be totally defined not only by Microsoft but by these tech companies, because they are shaping the economy of the future. They are shaping how we make or how future economic relations are going to be built. So. If we get this getting this insight from the company that is shaping the future is a tremendous privilege.
Yeah.
It's a tremendous privilege. And it's difficult to... the other economic sectors, they are not doing that. So you are in the sector that is defining the economy of the future, because it also influences all the other economic mm-hmm. sectors.
Yeah. I can totally understand what
it
you're
saying. It
yeah.
influences all the other companies.
It really is a privilege to work here, because like you said, we're working with people who are really like defining mm-hmm. what the world will be in the future,
exactly.
how we communicate, how we make business. And, you know, it's our whole mission to mm-hmm. do impact in the world. And I think we really feel that at mm-hmm. least here at Microsoft.
We feel that we are empowering people. And that's and it's good that we feel that, because it's our mission. So,
yeah,
it's good that we feel that.
And what are you thinking about your future here? I think it's very early to say, right?
It's very
early,
yeah.
But what are your expectations? Would you like to stay working here? Or are you very much interested in exploring other opportunities already?
I would say that that's a tough decision, because I'm really enjoying this. But I also feel that we should not restrict... Oh.
yeah, we just had a little bit of an interruption, you know, even though we booked the room, this is something that happens at Microsoft all the time. So don't expect that meetings are super perfect, like in movies or anything. People come into rooms all the time, rooms are booked, but then they aren't,
but
you know.
They aren't, exactly. Okay, so let me see if I catch my reason.
I don't
where
even
where
know
I?
Anymore.
Where was I? I was talking about the future.
Yes.
Yes, okay.
So, do you know the future also?
Do you know the future? No. But that analytics, I believe it can predict the future. Okay, so I was telling, well, of course, I'm enjoying a lot this experience here at Microsoft. But on the other hand, I think that as I am young, I also think that I would like to explore other companies. But I see myself coming here with more experience, truly. Mm-hmm. It's a company where I really would like to work and give much more. But, you know, the future is open. So,
yeah,
one never knows.
What about, I guess you've been talking also to other interns, mm-hmm, and people working here. Do you think that your current position is one that you really, really like? Or are there other positions that you've, mm-hmm, heard about or you're exploring that, mm-hmm, you think might be like a better suit also, for you, yeah, in the future? Or do you like really, really love this and this is what you want to do?
I like this position of dealing with partners, but I also would like to explore other parts of the company, namely those that are connected to the public sector. Also, others that are involved in marketing and operations department, for example, the part connected with productivity tools such as Office 365, that's a very interesting area, or Dynamics 365 also. Those are very interesting areas that I also would like to explore.
Yeah, in the case of like empowering the workplace, mm-hmm, and productivity,
exactly,
and everything. Yeah,
exactly.
That's something we're very strong also. What about like people you've been working here?
Mm-hmm.
How do you feel, or how would you like describe the people that work here at Microsoft, the people that you've been working so far? Not only the interns, but, mm-hmm, overall everyone in the company.
People who work here at the company, yes. Okay, so a common characteristic, the growth mindset, that that mythical thing.
Do you really see that in...
I mean, we only have 2 months, so I don't know... I guess that the growth mindset is something that you see in small, mm-hmm, you know, there are those small windows of opportunity where you can see if either that person has it or not. So far, I don't believe I have had the chance or a tremendous opportunity to see if someone really has, mm-hmm, that. But I believe that, well, we should have it. I believe that we have it. And then, well, the other people are very, well, first of all, they are nice, supportive. They help me. As you said earlier, they don't say no if you need help. So, yes, I mean,
mm-hmm,
they are very kind to us.
I'm asking this because in my case, I guess this has been because I'm working here for 2 months. Sometimes, you know, I think, you know, that you go through like a process while you're working at a company where at first you think everything is super awesome and super perfect. And now I've been like, sometimes I think, have you felt this as well?
I have had that. Yes. I can give you an example. In the second day, or probably the third day, I don't remember quite well which day was it. A person that was sitting in my table told me, well, first of all, welcome here, but I have to warn you about something. When you start here, once you start here at Microsoft, you think, whoa, this is super cool. But then you'll have a kind of a breakdown. You'll think, I don't want to work for this company, I want to leave. But then you will think again, well, this is so cool, I never want to leave this company. But then you'll have another breakdown. However, the trend is always upwards. You just have small,
mm-hmm,
you know, small decreases
in your journey.
Yes, in your line. So,
have you felt that?
I felt a little bit in the beginning, yes. Right now, I think it's more stable.
You're in a good now.
I'm in an upward trend. Yes, upward trend.
What about when you applied for Microsoft? Did, mm-hmm, you apply to a lot of other companies?
I applied to another company. Yes.
Did you like that one better than this one, or you
no,
really wanted?
Because I got an offer from
both, and
yes,
you chose
and
Microsoft.
I chose this one.
Cool. Is this your first job experience?
Yes, it is.
It is. So, you know, me and Andrea also starting on top.
On
you
top.
Know,
what
on
a privilege!
Top.
What a privilege!
It really is, because,
yes,
you know, I think you either get here through an intern job, or you already have like very, very good connections outside, and
experience,
or you're like,
yes,
very experienced in a specific skill.
Exactly.
Otherwise, like, why would they put you in here? Because they have so many people they can get to.
Even it's like, difficult to get into Microsoft. Yeah. It's difficult because many positions are based on trust. And, you know, you need to know the people. Mm-hmm, they most of the times positions they only think about someone. Mm-hmm. Sometimes they invite people to come to the company.
Yeah, and people, you have to think about the fact that this is a global company. So exactly. A lot of people are coming from Microsoft in Ireland, Italy come here. So I think it's very, very difficult unless it's like a very like entry-level job. I think it's very, very hard.
That's exactly what I meant. Many times they invite people because, of course, they are aware of their experience and they know that they will perform well in the future role that is opened. So,
So what did you think about the recruitment process? Was it like tough?
Too long. Very long. Very long. I mean, I applied in February and we only had the final answer in
The final answer was like 1 month before or 2 weeks before.
Yes, exactly. the truly final answer saying we can pay for the internship.
Yeah, we can pay for you. Come at this day.
Exactly. Only in July.
Yeah, or August. Mm-hmm. Like the exact date.
The date was in August, but the final confirmation, I received it in July.
Like it's totally crazy, but... Did you think it was too hard? Did you have fun doing it?
Well, it was... The hardest part, truly, is the fact that it's a very long process because it's... you have to endure this time length.
Yeah. And it's a mental game. It's a mental game. Because you have other opportunities, other stuff who are asking you and pressuring you to make a decision.
Yes, exactly. That's what I felt when I had the other offer because the other offer was... quite fast. I mean, the recruitment process for that company only lasted 2 weeks.
Really?
2 weeks. And I got an offer. In 2 weeks, I got an offer. And I didn't have at the time the final confirmation from Microsoft.
And was this around like June?
This was in May.
So it was still a long way to go.
I only had an answer telling you, well, you passed the final assessment. You know, that speech that
it was very complicated, for you.
If you passed the final assessment, we would love to stay with you, but we need to confirm if we'll have funding for the internship program, you know.
I guess you're very scared, right?
And I was thinking, okay, so what am I going to do now? I have a strong offer, a secure offer, and then I have one that tells me, well, probably will stay with us. But then I thought, okay, I fought so hard to get this internship. I endured, so far I had endured 4 months of recruitment process and not 2 weeks. Usually, Microsoft gets the funding for the internship program. I want the Microsoft internship.
How can this go wrong, right?
I didn't think that. I think I am young. If I want to risk something, I'm going to risk it now. So...
Exactly.
It was one of the hardest things that I had to do was to call to the other company telling them, well, thank you very much for all your kindness. You were very kind to me in the recruitment process because you were so fast. But I have a positive answer from the other company where I was for the recruitment process of the other company. And so unfortunately, I'll have to say no. Mm-hmm. But thank you very much. It was one of the hardest calls that I ever had to make.
Mm-hmm. Especially when you're saying that and you're not even sure of the other option. And
because I thought for 1 month, I really thought, oh, God, what did I do?
Yeah.
I wasted an opportunity, but I made the right decision.
What was the feedback from your parents? Were they like, think about this decision? Because I know my parents were very scared as well, and they were like,
They told me. What do you want the most? Do you want Microsoft? And I told them, yes. I'm absolutely sure that the company that I want the most is Microsoft. And they told me, well, you know, do it. Try.
That's good.
That's what you say. Usually they get the funding for the internships. So let's trust that they will have the funding this year, especially because the government increased the budget to fund the internship programs here in Portugal. So... the odds are positive, so go for it.
And here he is now.
And here I am.
On the podcast.
On the podcast.
Okay, So let's go back a little bit. This is okay. always the part where we deconstruct the journey of the person who is on the podcast. And this is where I guess it gets fun.
Oui.
What about, what did you do before? You were studying economics,
Economics at Ishkte Business School, exactly.
Hashtag Ishkte is the best.
Hashtag Ishkte is the best.
Yet again, we have someone else from Ishkte. This is already the third person. Only Katya was not from Ishkte. Mm-hmm. Everyone else was from Ishkte. And Top. you'll soon realize Ishkte is the best. Yeah. What was your experience in Ishkte?
Well, as I told you, I studied economics. So, well, it was a great experience because university is really that when you finish high school and when you go to university, you really feel that frontier that you cross a frontier. You stop being probably that, I wouldn't say kid, but, you know, that young man or young woman who just left high school, who still doesn't know much about the world. And then suddenly starts to learn lots of things that person really likes to learn because it's specializing in an area that he or she likes. It's an opportunity also to meet different people. So it's to meet also foreign students that come to study to our school. It's a situation where you can develop your social skills. Truly, you get along with much more people. I felt that I stopped being so shy as I was in high school. I was very shy at high school. I had my restricted group of friends. And when I went to university, I started to change that in the first year. And I can say that it transformed me in a way because you also need to be good at that in order to come to this company. You cannot be just good at great. You cannot just have high grades. You need to mm-hmm. be good. In other domains,
soft skills,
in other domains,
right?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
What about your course? Was it your first option?
Did you
really want economics?
Yes, it was my first option.
And
economics.
How was it? Was
how
it
was
according
it?
To expected?
Yes. Well, the first and second year are very quantitative. So you know, we learn lots of mathematics. Then also statistics. Then we go to econometrics, which is applying statistics to economic research. One of my favorite years, my favorite probably was the third year, because in the third year we have courses that develop our critical thinking. Because as we have the tools from the first and from the second year to analyze the situation, we start to analyze the reality of the country, for example, or of the European Union or other countries. And we really start to think, why are things like that? What influences this? And what has been the chain of events that has promoted this path and the context that we have right now? So, yes, the third year was my favorite year because it really helps you to develop your critical thinking of things. For example, I had one of the courses that I truly loved was Solidarity and Social Economics, which explores a little bit of a kind of a new economic approach. So as the name says, it's about social economics and solidarity economics. It's a bit different because the basic difference is that we do not exclude anyone from the production process just because that person hasn't, for example, a skill to produce. For example, if that person is disabled, physically, then the structure of the company adapts itself to welcome that person in order for that person to be part of that production, of that productive process. You know, it's something that really makes us think, because poverty in the world, poverty, for example, in our country, it's common in people that do not have, that have physical problems, that are
mm-hmm,
disabled.
Mm-hmm. Or mental also.
Or mental
yeah,
disabled
yeah.
also.
Who
so,
are... not suitable.
They exactly
for,
they are
like,
not they are not considered
yeah.
suitable, so
mm-hmm.
they are not productive.
Mm-hmm.
This is really the term. They are not productive, so they are excluded from
mm-hmm.
the economic activity.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And I got the chance to see that when I went on a field trip to the Azores, because in the Azores the social economics is very developed, And I went in the third, and in the third year, I went to the Azores in order to see how organizations and institutions.
Was this like a field trip?
It was a field trip, yes, for a project that we had at university.
Uh-huh.
It was a 4-day trip, I believe. So, yes, I got the opportunity to see that happen live, you know, to see how organizations were changing lives of people that probably would end up in poverty.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
How criminals are being integrated again in society. They are not abandoned.
That's very interesting.
They are not abandoned. They are not abandoned. So, and one of the subjects that is paramount in the Azores currently is the fact that some people are being deported from the US, and many people and many Portuguese citizens that are in the US come from the Azores. So they are being deported to the Azores again. And, well, many of them actually do not speak Portuguese because they were already born in the United States, and so they don't have any idea of how to integrate themselves in the Portuguese society anymore.
Exactly.
They don't
because
know
because they're not from the
exactly
yeah,
they do
they
not know
never
how
were.
To do it, and
yeah.
there are structures in the Azores connected to these connected with these organizations that are in the field of social economics that help them
really.
That's a way of getting out of poverty, because solidarity economics, it's much about giving support to the person, but not giving everything. Because
yeah, it's the kind of like that proverb, you know, you don't give the fish.
That's exactly what I was going to say.
Yeah.
Yes, you teach the person how to fish, and you don't just give them the fish. It's exactly that.
Cool. And what about like other subjects that you studied in uni? You talked about that one specifically. What like other subjects did you really like, and maybe what others you didn't really like?
I really
and
liked
why?
Well, macroeconomics, I liked it, but macroeconomics is very theoretical. Very
it
theoretical.
Is.
A lot. So
I have that one. As
you
well.
Had that one. You had macroeconomics one course.
Just one course.
One
so
course.
I think it's the same that you had in the first year.
Okay, then I had another one, macroeconomics too.
First year is the same for both of us.
Exactly. then, courses that I also liked. I'm trying to remember the name of the course. Give me just a second.
And then translate it.
Exactly, that's the thing. I have to remember first in Portuguese and then to translate it. And then I have to translate it. It's connected to competitiveness. So it's kind of competitiveness and policies for competitiveness.
Mm-hmm.
It's something like that. And I really like that course. It was taught by Ricardo Paz Mamed, which is quite known here in Portugal because often he shows up in television debates. He is very, very intelligent. He has truly those, you know, those insights from a person that truly knows about the thing.
Like you hear him and you're like, this guy knows what he's talking about.
Yes, exactly.
And he's not even telling us all about it.
Exactly.
Right?
He gives us very interesting insights about the things that we are studying. And again, this is one of the courses that developed my critical thinking. That's why I really liked economics for my bachelor's degree. It really helped me to develop my critical thinking.
What about, like, did you try out for any organizations there? Because there are so many organizations in Ishkte. I know that you were interested in a few, but I don't think you actually
Yes, I was
went.
Interested, but the thing about the organizations in Ishkte is that I do not like their, how should I say? How they work, the philosophy of some of them also, too many parties, too many drinking.
Let's go back to the parties. Did you go to a lot
yes.
of parties while you were in Ishkte?
Not that many. I used to go to the gala, to the annual gala of Ishkte, some one or other party, but usually I don't go out that much at night because I have other activities to do during the day.
That's true. People are saying, oh, let's go out tonight, but there's another day in the morning. And a night of going out means at least a morning that is lost, at least. And if you get like super drunk, it's like a whole day. But I don't have that experience.
Yes, a morning. Well, usually I do not lose my mornings because I wake up. I force myself to wake up.
Really?
Early, yes. So when I go out, probably I will only sleep 3 hours, 4 or 5 top.
Really?
Yes, like, for example, when I went out...
I told you this is where it gets fun.
I went out, when was it? I believe 1 month ago. And I arrived at home and it... I went to bed at 5 a.m., I believe.
Was this the dinner?
Like no, the, no, it wasn't the like, dinner. It was no? some. It was something. It was. It was another thing with a friend of mine from high school. Well, I went to bed at 5 a.m. and still I woke up at 10. So, 5 hours of sleep in order to go to my training of horse riding. So you know, you also have other stuff to do.
He's a busy man. He's a busy man. And now that you're talking about horse riding. How much do you practice? How long have you been on it?
I started horse riding in 2004.
So really, really long time ago.
It's really my favorite sport. It's the sport that I love. It's the sport that I'm passionate about, this sport. Unfortunately, right now I can only do it once a week. Sometimes when I can, I do it twice a week. But it's difficult. Especially because it is in Sintra, so it takes me from Microsoft to the Equestrian Center, it takes me over 1 hour and a half.
To ride yeah, there. It really is a mess, right?
Yeah. It takes a lot of time to get there. So usually I go on the weekend, Saturday mm-hmm. in the morning, that's when I do. That's when I go.
Were you involved in competitions?
Yes, I have done show jumping competitions, I have done dressage competition also.
And is this something that you're passionate about or yes. you prefer to just do it like, for fun? You like competitions as well?
Yes, I like really? Doing competitions. Yes, it's mm-hmm. fun. You know, it's different. It's different to have that adrenaline of going to a competition, of trying to perform as the best we can.
Mm-hmm.
It's different because in the regular trainings, we practice as much as we can. We try to make everything perfect and then it's the time to show. To show it all.
And have you ever thought about actually making a career out of it?
Not exactly.
No.
Not exactly.
Why? Because you didn't think you had the talent? Because
a talent. No,
you didn't like competition that much to only do that? Or because you were so very much interested in going to Microsoft?
That's true also. But no, I never saw my career in, you know, as a professional rider. Never saw my career going there.
Mm-hmm.
Also
mm-hmm.
saw it as you know, as a parallel thing that I like to do, as something to clear my mind. But nevertheless, I also like to dedicate myself to that, and I also like to perform extremely well. So I really, mm-hmm. I also work a lot to perform well in competitions and in my regular yeah. trainings.
I can but see it's that something, you're dedicated.
It's something parallel to my professional career.
Mm-hmm. And to... trail running.
It's trail running. Well, unfortunately, trail running, I only do it when
it's running by itself now. Now, Andre is not running with the trail running. No. The running is running.
It's impossible to do it now.
Okay.
Olha
tu. Hello everyone, now we're back to the show and now we have an audience because people can see us coming in and out, so it's even better, not yeah. awkward.
Not better. Awkward, better, yeah.
So, Andre, you were talking about trail running and how you never have the time to...
I was talking about trail running, but I have to talk about this first, because if you had a camera, you would see us leaving the room with people telling, well, it's time, it's our turn now to use this meeting room. So okay, we had to leave and now we are in another room
yeah.
with spectators around it. Not so many spectators.
Yeah,
not
this
so,
is like
not so many.
It actually. Has windows, you know, because this it's all pretty because everyone can see it. It's only beautiful in terms of architecture and mm-hmm. actual like practice. It's not that cool because yeah. everyone sees that you're in the room and what you're doing.
Exactly.
But we have okay. to go with whatever we have.
Exactly. Okay, so talking about trail running. Well, it's something that I like to do because I like to run. It was one of my favorite sports when we were, for example, in high school where physical education is mandatory, and endurance running in particular is something that I like. And I prefer to do it in the nature rather than in the city, because in the city it's not healthy to run. I mean, those who run in the city, do not forget that you are breathing mm-hmm. pollution that come from cars.
So and you never
and
run
you are breathing faster. You are breathing faster.
He's like, no.
No, you are breathing faster, and you are breathing with a larger intensity. Mm-hmm. So that means that you are getting much more pollution into your lungs than you actually do when you are just walking. So if I have to run, I do it in the nature. And the views when you do it in the nature are much, much better. And, well, yes, unfortunately, as it is in the nature, it's something that requires you to leave from where you live. So you also have to spend time in transportation in order to go to another place where you can run. And when you run, well, you need at least 1 hour.
Mm-hmm. You're not like going
2 hours.
1 hour of transport somewhere else,
exactly.
And then 5 minutes
and
running.
I say at least 1 hour, but
uh-huh. It really is more,
I like
right?
to enjoy 2 hours at mm-hmm. least. I
mean, and can you run for 2 hours?
No. I could only do it if I could practice every day, probably.
Mm-hmm.
But you know, it's what we have.
Mm-hmm. Then how do you usually do it? How long do you run? Then you usually walk or you stop?
I can run,
how do you
I
do
can,
it?
Currently, I can run up to, I would say, 20, 25 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
It's not that much. But, you know, for someone who can't run every day, it is something.
Mm-hmm.
Then I walk, I catch my breath, and then I restart.
Then I restart.
Yeah.
But it's not like restarting a computer that comes with full power.
Exactly. True. Yes, true.
It must be very hard. You know, we're already running. It's already like almost the time to end the podcast. But I need to know, André, you speak French.
Oui, je parle aussi le français.
He does. I read on LinkedIn, it said limited working proficiency.
Well,
and
yeah.
I wanted to know how far is that? What exactly?
How far is that? Well, you know, I didn't want to stay just for Portuguese and English.
Mm-hmm.
I wanted to learn other additional languages. And I already had French in
high school, right?
No, not in high school. Before high school, yes. And in last year, in 2016, the summer of 2016, I decided to go on an intensive French course for 2 weeks. So
was
that,
it here?
It was at Ixcté.
Oh, at Ixcté.
Yes.
Cool.
At CCL, uh-huh. You know, Centro de Cursos Livres.
Yes, yes.
So that was kind of, you know, that, how should I put this, the push, that's the correct word.
Mm-hmm.
The push to relearn everything, because I only needed those 2 weeks in order to learn the basics, and then I restarted to learn everything by myself.
So are you right now learning by yourself, or you stopped?
Right now I'm not learning, because I have learned all the verbal
uh-huh.
time tenses, so
mm-hmm.
what do I do now? I read every single day when I come. When
really?
I read French, I read Le Monde. And when I come by train to the office.
Cute.
So, and that gives me around 30 minutes, 40 minutes, you know, to practice my reading. When I am at home after dinner, I listen to the news in French. I watch France 24 to listen to the news.
Kids, listen
you know,
to this.
This is
how you learn languages.
This is the method.
It's not books.
This is the method,
yeah.
Really, because it helps. It, you know, if you do not have someone to talk to, in the language, then this is how you will learn a new language. And when I have the chance, I do speak in French. For example, this year I went to Switzerland and I forced myself to speak in French. But of course, in a few occasions I had to stop and to speak English, because
mm-hmm.
for example, I'm weak in what concerns vocabulary for food. I do not know. I wanted to order something and I did not know the words in
mm-hmm,
French.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I had to speak in English.
Okay, André, it's been a pleasure. I wish we had more time, honestly, to go through other subjects, but we don't, so I'm going to have to end it now. And we already did almost 8 minutes in this room, which is
eight
good
minutes.
Also.
Okay.
So, Andrea, I'm going to have to say goodbye. Say goodbye to everyone on the
station
as well.
It was a pleasure. I hope you liked my interview.
Mm-hmm. And
Thank you very much, Anna, for having invited me.
And I guess if you want to talk with Andrea further, you can always call into the station. If somebody calls in, I will make sure Andrea also has the questions.
Definitely, yes.
And he will get back to me and
I'll
post them.
Don't be shy.
Not like Andrea was in the past.
Exactly,
Or go to uni.
You have to force yourself to leave that.
Yeah. People say don't go to uni, but it worked out for Andrea. So
yeah.
Maybe go to uni if you have money. But yeah, let's say goodbye. And you know, if you want to connect also with Andrea, I guess on social media and stuff, you should be
Facebook,
able to find him.
LinkedIn.
Yeah, I'll post it below. Okay, everyone, this is it. I hope that you had fun, and it's goodbye for now.
Goodbye. Thank you very much.